Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for informational and educational purposes only. You should always consult a qualified healthcare practitioner for all of your healthcare needs. Hello, this is Mike King with Merryman Herbs. It's a Better Life show, and today we have with us Joni Blackster. She's a health coach and national sales trainer and manager for Just Thrive Products. And we talked about the spore-based probiotics on another show, but today we're going to talk about vitamin K. How you doing, Joni?
Great. Awesome day. How are you doing, Mike?
I am doing fantastic. I will tell you that. Everybody tells me I'm beyond help, but I go, yeah, but I'm happy. So, yeah, I have a lot. Like to have a lot of fun. Hey, we got a lot to go through today. This is just one vitamin, but we may end up talking a little bit about vitamin D and calcium because it's in vitamin K as a mechanism, and there's so much to talk about. I think maybe the best thing to do is to start with a little bit of a history behind it. I know Weston Price. Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. He discovered what we call, what is it, Activator X, which is actually vitamin K. But tell me, how did all this discovery with vitamin K get started?
Yeah, I would have to say that I do think it probably was brought to public awareness by Dr. Price.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was a dentist who was very interested in nutrition. And he was in clinical practice in, I believe, the Columbus area right up until the mid to late 30s.
Uh-huh.
And then when he retired, he literally traveled all around the world visiting tribes of people that were known for being still extremely healthy and were still eating only their original traditional food.
Okay, so kind of looking at indigenous people and maybe what is, you know, the special thing in a culture. I know Chris Gillum, the medicine hunter, my friend, does that.
In all their diets
the link
made them healthy.
Right.
That's what he was looking for.
Well, that's where a lot of this, they're still doing that today, you know. Like I was saying, Chris Gillum, the medicine hunter, goes around and looks for...
But just think about how important it was that he did what he did then, because we don't have any people still eating their original diet. They're gone. It's
pretty
over.
Much,
Pepsi Cola's everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're right. I mean, because Chris has to go to like the end of the earth to find, you know, still the native stuff. And like South America, he has to go deep into the jungle and deal with tribes that might kill him. You know, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
So, he's a real interesting guy. I love him. He's a good friend of mine. Chris Gillum, the medicine hunter, and he's discovered a lot of things. But Weston Price was kind of the same thing. And it's interesting because I know Dr. Svent Georgi that discovered vitamin C, Nobel laureate, and then started the whole vitamin thing in the 30s. A lot of the vitamins, when I look back into the history and everything and look at the discoveries, it, you know, started like in the 20s, 30s, 40s, right? That was like a golden age. And that's when Bragg and a lot of these early people started their businesses and the Back to Eden book, Jethro Kloss. You have all of this kind of seminal discovery, golden age of, hey, maybe nutrition is the way to go rather than, you know, synthetic pharmaceuticals and all the other stuff. And now it's kind of proven itself to be the gold standard and really the way to go. So, all right. He discovered this, what's called Activator X. What else did he discover about it as far as, I mean, when he was doing all this? So he found that the people, what I think we were talking earlier, you said that they were eating, and again, we've got the keto diet and all this stuff and fats and good fats and all that, but he found that the populations that were living longer had, you said, more fat in their diet?
Yes, more animal fat.
Animal fat.
Consistently identified as their most sacred food.
Uh-huh.
And so what he found was there was this substance, and he never got any further before his death beyond calling it Activator X.
Okay.
But now we understand that it's actually vitamin K2. And he was even ahead of traditional thinkers who came after his death because he recognized that vitamin K2 activated other substances in order to be able to effectively use calcium.
Right. And then
originally,
vitamin D
K2
and all
was
that,
identified as an oil-soluble vitamin, and that's not really accurate. It's an activator of proteins, specifically osteocalcin.
Yeah, and we'll say it real quick. That's why you can't overdose with it. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but it's a really unique supplement. supplement, yeah. and vitamin is very, very exciting. So I guess there was a science doctor, researcher named Kate Rayon-Blue out of Canada that was studying all this Weston Price and the Activator X and all of that. And she was studying that and she found that he really didn't go any further on his information and the history and the vitamin K. So today, and she's done a ton of research and we probably should reference it. She's written a book, Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox. So you can go online. I just listened to a show that she, or an interview that she did with Dr. Mercola, and it was very, very interesting. And she's a very pretty lady and she's very healthy. She just had, I think, childbirth, you know, had a baby, and she was stating how important it is to, I think she was taking 1,000 micrograms or something of K2. So we'll talk about that also. K2 is very, very important. Now, vitamin K is a vitamin, and of course vitamins are those substances that you don't naturally produce that you actually have to have, but that's not always true because we know vitamin D and B12 and some other things, and even I think vitamin K can also be produced by the probiotics in your digestive system, or does it have to come from an outside source?
So first thing to bear in mind is that there are two forms of vitamin K.
Yeah, let's talk about that. There's vitamin K1, vitamin K2, and vitamin K3, and there's actually, two additional categories of the vitamin K2. So tell us about vitamin K1, also known as phylloquinone.
Yes.
Okay.
Most people are actually more familiar with K1 than they are K2, and they get confused.
Uh-huh.
And this includes doctors. And the reason people are familiar with it is because it's a blood thinner. So if you're already on a pharmaceutical blood thinner like Coumadin, they tell you, oftentimes mistakenly, avoid vitamin K. Well,
right.
That's not what you need to avoid. You need to avoid K1.
That's like, exactly. The devil is in the details. That's the, what happened with vitamin E. There's DL, alpha tocopherol. And of course, there's a mixed tocopherols, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. And there's a mixed tocotrienols, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. And of course, those are completely different than the DL, alpha tocopherol, which is basically made from acetone, kerosene, and, you know, a bunch of carcinogens.
Exactly.
They did a study on that synthetic form of vitamin E and found that it did increase your incidence of cancer. Duh, it's coming from cancer-forming substances. And then they tell everybody, oh, vitamin E is bad. It causes cancer. That, you know, that is really, I guess today we call it fake news, propaganda. That is really devastating for the health. And I don't know why. And I've even seen some research scientists requote that. And I've gotten on them about it. And the thing is, you know, this is where the whole mess up starts, is people do not realize that there are synthetic vitamins and natural vitamins. So vitamin K, and there's different forms of a vitamin, like vitamin C is actually a class of compounds. And when you get into it, it's not just ascorbic acid, which the synthetic version is made from corn. Okay, I'm going to jump off my soapbox. So anyway.
Yep,
here I go.
The complexity of nature.
Yes. And, you know, you really, we're talking apples, but okay, we're talking onions. There's Vidalia onions, there's sweet onions, there's red onions, and they're different. So vitamin K1, actually, in my understanding, it goes directly to the liver. It has the blood thinning properties, and it really that's the one that works with your blood clotting, is K1. Now there's K2, which we're going to really deal with and talk about today, and we're going to deal with a category of K2. But before we go into that, K2, basically, real simply, it goes straight to your blood vessels, bones, and tissues other than your liver. So it's actually a different vitamin. Vitamin K3, which is also known as minidione, I think, is a synthetic form, and it is not recommended. And actually, there's a toxicity with that one. And I don't even know where it comes from or whatever. Obviously, when you get organic compounds, you can tweak them, pull up, you know, hydrogen molecule off or add an alcohol molecule or whatever and make a different animal. So there is, because maybe, I know, and I'm assuming the core structure of the molecule is the same as K1, K2. There's a K3, and I don't, Joni, is that even sold? Do they even sell that? I'm reading here that there was a toxicity when they injected it into infants. So obviously they were maybe trying to give it to maybe hospitals or something were using it.
It's all about how it gets manufactured.
Ah.
And a lot of times where people get confused specifically around K2 is that there are multiple forms of K2, and they identify them by numbers, like there's an MK2, an MK4, an MK7. MK7 is the form that you want.
Okay.
Because that is the form that remains the most stable in the bloodstream for the longest period of time.
Okay.
So that way the body is more able to go and pull it out of the bloodstream on a regular basis and keep you well supplied.
Awesome. So vitamin K2 is also known as minoquinone, and I'm seeing here two subcategories, and I've heard there's an MK11, so I think there's more than two, but the two big ones are the MK4 and the MK7. That is the vitamin K2. So we have vitamin K1, K2, K3. Vitamin K2 is divided into basically the two big, the most common active ones, there are some others, into MK4 and MK7. And to clarify this, yeah, then the MK4 is what you would normally find in butter and eggs, egg yolks, animal-based products, but it can also be produced synthetically. And all I can say right now is that everything I'm reading is the synthetic form is really not good for you. So we'll just put it at that. There's some issues with that, and I've been reading about it, and it's not really recommended. So, and anything, we just said, the synthetic vitamins, I mean, you know, go figure. So the manufacturing processes and all that, who knows what you're going to be getting. So the MK7 is actually a longer chain form, and it's found in fermented food. So tell us a little bit about this MK7. It stays in your body. Tell us a little bit about the manufacturing and, you know, how do we get the best MK7? How does it, you know, what, and again, you just told me you have an MK7 gold, it's branded and it's very, very special. What makes it so, oh, wait a minute. Before we get into that, I want to interject this. I have a letter dated, and don't ask me where I got it from, because I would have to erase your memory like on Men in Black. So this, yeah, it's an alien thing. December 18th. 2006, and I got this through one of my research scientist friends. This is coming from the associate professor of biochemistry at the University of Maastricht in the Netherlands. And this is a statement about MinoQ7 is the, and he's stating, and I'm reading from the letter here. Presently, MinoQ7 is the only natural form of vitamin K that has earned the Vita K2 status. So that was a branded thing back, what, over 10 years ago. But this is an interesting part of the letter. He says here, and this really clarifies everything, just like we said earlier. But therefore, based on our present knowledge, we recommend that daily intakes below the dose of 50 micrograms per day of MinoQ7 are safe even during oral anticoagulant treatment. And then it's referenced with LJ Sugars et al. Blood 2006 in press. So this was very, very new, but basically you have a major university cardiovascular research institute out of the Netherlands. This is what they do, and they did a lot of studies. And again, and he says in the letter, as a result, K1 is primarily taken up in the liver where it may interfere with warfarin and other anticoagulants. But he is saying here in a dose response study that they did, volunteers, they found that below that 50 micrograms per day, there was no, he said, it says here, with oral anticoagulant treatment is highly unlikely. So again, the doctors telling their patients, oh, you can't have vitamin K, is really not the whole true story. Maybe it's overprotective, I guess we could say it that way, but then you don't get the benefit of vitamin K. And vitamin K is just so, so important. So, okay, let's get back. I'm sorry, I had to rabbit hole you.
Let me give you another tweak on
that. Oh, yes. Okay, let's further go. Okay.
Doctors do oftentimes mistakenly tell patients, the doctors confuse K1 and K2. However, in its most natural form, my understanding is that in food and in nature, that
right,
K1 and K2 are usually found together.
Together, right.
Yeah, and the problem with consuming K2 in isolation is that the body gets confused because it's used to seeing it in the more complex food source. And so it will take that isolated K2, sequester it away in the liver, and then we don't get the benefit. And you see a lot of K2 in isolation on the vitamin shelves.
Yes, yes. So this, we were just getting to talk about, you know, this vitamin K2, the processing and everything. So what are you doing? What is this new form? And I guess it's unique to your company. What is this new form, the Thrive Company? What is this new form? What makes it so special? What's the manufacturing? I mean, I know you can't tell me all your trade secrets, but because, you know, then you and I both would get into trouble, but I do know, people tell me a lot of things
I'm
off air.
I'm already in trouble.
Oh yeah, probably. So am I, but that's okay, because the public needs, my listening audience is starved for true, good, honest information. And that's what we do. I mean, that's what I focus on. I try to get the best, the newest, the latest products for my customers. And man, are they healthy? I have the healthiest customers around. So anyway, this is a special form of vitamin K2, subcategorized as minoquinone 7. It's been researched. It's been studied there, and it comes basically from Natto. But just as you said, just as I've seen in the industry, you know, we get a supplement and then we enhance it and enhance it and enhance it and make it bioavailable, like the new curcumin products that are out there, like the Extra Strength Curamin, which is the BCM 95, which is a very unique formula, all natural. But so tell us about what is going on here, Joni. This is exciting. What's this new discovery? Oh, yeah, what's this new branded product? You know, what's this new vitamin K? And before we start, I want to interject again, and I'm going to repeat it again. There is no known toxicity with this, and it's because of the mechanism, the way it works. And we'll talk about that because it basically activates proteins. It's not like your vitamin D or any other substance that you get.
Right,
it's a direct part.
Anywhere.
It's not stored anywhere. So there's these proteins that do what they're supposed to do, and this just activates that. And your body only makes so much protein, and when it's done, it's done. So there's a safety valve. So you can't, there's no toxicity. You can't take too much, or you can waste your money. Obviously, you could take too much of anything. You know, I mean, if you started drinking bottles of it every day, just like you can drown yourself in water. So what makes this special K? I'll get in trouble for that one. What makes this K so special?
Well, it's all in the manufacturing, which is what makes it so fascinating, because it turns out that because vitamin K2 is a very active substance, it makes it particularly difficult to manufacture. When a substance is really difficult to manufacture, frequently what you find is a big difference between what's on the label and what's inside the capsule or the pill if you go to the trouble to test the product.
Right, right.
So
right.
When the microbiologist behind the line was doing research and development before putting the K27 on the market, he wanted to set the bar really high, and so he did a lot of testing on well-known vitamin K2 supplement brands, and he focused mostly on the professional lines because he really wanted to know how good were the best of the best.
The best of the best, okay.
Right.
And
what he told me as an example is it was a doctor's line. The label read 50 micrograms.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 months after manufacture. You want to guess how much it tested out at?
Two. I don't know.
Nine.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't
so
there. So it wasn't stable.
I specifically said, well, but, you know, what about that expiration date on the bottom?
Yeah.
And the thing that we don't really quite understand in this country is we think manufacturing facilities in this country are necessarily better than those abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about knowing what kind of certification programs are meaningful.
Right, and the source. Because I know, like, the French grapeseed OPCs are completely different than the Chinese grapeseed OPCs. Completely different.
Right.
Manufacturing the whole bit, and then the certification validates that you're getting the real McCoy, that you're getting the real thing. And that is very important.
Yes.
And that's why I deal with companies like yours, because you've gone to all the time and trouble to make sure you're getting the stuff that the research is showing is the best, the most valid, the most active, the most. And sometimes, you know, it's not that much more expensive. And in the long run, you don't have to take as much. So sometimes it's actually cheaper, like with the grapeseed OPCs. You'd have to take bottles and bottles of that to make it work. Whereas
right.
if you buy the really good stuff, you don't have to take very much. And so you actually save. And I'm sure that's the way it is with this.
Yes, and
right?
that is totally true for ours. If you look at the cost per microgram,
right.
because the other thing that's unique to the Just Thrive K27 is that it's higher potency than any other vitamin K2 brand out there. It's at 320 micrograms.
Okay, and I was just going to...
And most of them you see like...
Yeah. I'm going to interject. Yeah, most of them you see it where? Where is the other companies at?
That was chosen for a very specific reason. That is the point at which in clinical studies, we see that the body has enough K2 present that it's able to take the calcium and put it where it does belong in the body while simultaneously taking it out of places we don't want,
right.
like in the vessels of the heart
like the artery wall.
Yeah, the brain.
Right. Okay, because I'm reading from this Rayon Bleu. She says that that's where it gets a little bit more technical. It seems that for the average person around 200, because he's, you know, McCullough in the interview was asking about the recommendation. She says around 200 to 280 mm-hmm. micrograms will begin to activate your K2. So you said you're at what, 350? Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
No, 320.
320. Oh, wow. You've really fine-tuned it. So, okay. So you found that it meets that threshold. It meets the threshold
exactly.
and goes a little bit further to really get you the optimal dose without having to give you a ton of vitamin K2. It gives you that exact perfect dose. Now, I have to remind everybody that everything over the counter is designed for a person that weighs about 150 pounds. So, again, can work with your qualified healthcare practitioner or, you know, the manufacturer, look on the bottle or read the science, or we can give you education at Merryman. Again, we can't prescribe or diagnose, but... You know, if you're a very small, tiny person, you might want to not take that high dose. And if you're really big, you might want to double the dose just to make sure that per your body mass, you're getting enough of that. But generally, when you buy something over the counter, even if you're big or small or whatever, it's going to do what it needs to do, particularly with something like this, because obviously you've designed it to meet that threshold for the average person. So it's definitely going to get somewhere with everybody. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, an important thing to keep in mind is latest studies are showing that children are probably at highest risk for being most deficient in K2, and goodness, they need that K2 to build their teeth, to build their bones, their structure, not to mention all the other, I mean, it's very intimately connected to hormones, growing brain, all of that.
For prenatal, I mean, again, the doctor, you know, Kate was talking about how, you know, she was taking, I think, 1,000 micrograms for at least, or 500 in the interview mm-hmm. for, and her, she had a gorgeous, beautiful, healthy baby. So K2 is very essential. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's for the secondary development of your teeth, because those are still, you know, in the embryonic, they're formed. So there's a lot of things that are formed and started, you know, as the baby is being formed in layman's terms. And it is very, you know, very important. Now, again, I'm going to reiterate this, and this is a quote from her. She says, the reason why K2 doesn't have potential toxic effect is that all vitamin K2 does is activate K2 proteins. It will activate all the K2 proteins it finds, and if they're all activated and you take extra K2, it simply won't do it because there's nothing there to activate. And so that's why we don't see a potential for toxicity like we would do with vitamin A or D or any of the other, or not any, but a lot of the other vitamins.
Which is a big relief to any parent who wants to give this to their child.
Right. Well, you know, we always say the water solubles or the B's and the C's and the A, E, D, and K are the fat soluble, but K... It really isn't an issue. Now, this is really interesting. The K, and it's called K2, you said gold, or what are we looking for here?
So it's a trademark form. It is pharmaceutical grade, and it's called Menaquin Gold.
Okay.
And nobody else in the retail industry is using it.
Wow.
And we can tell you that we have tested our product 3 years after manufacture, and it's tested out still 100% potency.
Wow. Wow. That is awesome. So now...
So, you know, that's an important thing for people to understand is that if you wonder about your K2... Ask the manufacturer to supply you the results of their potency testing.
Yes, and you can do that, obviously.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay, now, this is something else coming from the science in the interview, and this Dr. Kate, who's just Dr. Rayon Blue, who is phenomenal and is kind of the expert now because she's published this book and did a lot of research. But she estimates, and I've heard a little bit different, 80, and I'll say 80, she said 80, but 80 to 85% Americans do not get enough vitamin K2. And it is for, you need vitamin K2 with these particular disease states to help prevent them. Osteoporosis, heart disease, heart attack and stroke, inappropriate calcification, particularly like heel spurs, kidney stones, breast and prostate calcifications, I'm assuming, and then vascular calcifications, brain disease, and even cancer. And I'm seeing here that the symptoms of vitamin K deficiency could be osteoporosis, heart disease, or diabetes. So again, mm-hmm. if you have, and I know I have a lot of customers that have issues with type 2 diabetes and heart disease and so forth, and they start supplementing with the vitamin D, and on top of that, the vitamin K, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Again, we can get into, and I really like to focus on heart health, because I had a customer the other day that came in that said their cardiologist says, yeah, you have, you're younger, but you're getting severe calcification of your arterial wall. And of course, you know, a lot of individuals will eat the rock calcium, and we've had shows and shows and shows on that, that you need the more bioavailable calcium. But this K2, this Minequin 7 gold, you know, from Thrive, or basically, you know, the really good stuff, we know, and there, it's in the literature too, but the, it is very good at reducing the calcium that's built up. And I've actually had the heart doctors, the, you know, the primary care physicians, they'll say, well, there's no way you can get rid of that. Once you get it, we're going to have to do, you know, the medieval torture and have you on all these drugs and everything. And I've not seen that. I've not seen that.
No,
I mean,
no, you know, no, absolutely not.
We go back
They did a clinical study on the form that's used exclusively in Just Thrive, and they found that a 12% increase in cardiac output, indicating greater health of the vessels, and that was 26 people in just 8 weeks.
Wow, wow. So yeah, I mean, and again, this guy was all upset. He was having to take a anxiety product and looking at this, of course, the CBD, which is really good for that. I mean, he was super stressed. I'm like, well, that's not good for your heart and your circulatory system either. He's like, I'm going to die early. There's nothing that we can do. And I'm like, no, I've never heard of that. I mean, I've been dealing with people for, you know, over 41 years. And my customers, I have seen people that have breast calcifications, arterial calcifications. And I have actually seen, you know, in the industry, where they, you know, maybe have had a mammogram or they've had an angiogram or whatever, and they get on the vitamin K2 and they come back and get tested and it's all cleared up or it's significantly reduced. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand why. And again, I think I asked you the other day, it's like, you know, maybe they're not getting the, and this is, I know doctors listen to this show. Maybe they're not getting the latest information from the science. I mean, they're very busy people, and a lot of times all they listen to is their pharmaceutical rep, and they don't really realize that there are things going on in the industry, particularly the nutraceutical industry, that are at the peak or pinnacle of the latest science, the latest information. And, you know, we've got supplements now. It's like the computer industry. We have supplements now that are just phenomenal. Hey, we're going to run out of time. I just realized that. So real quickly, your product is gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, salt-free, sugar-free, kosher, vegan, halal, allergen-free, GMO. And it's the only 320 microgram product on the market. And it's extremely absorbable. It's got tons of safety studies. It's an all-natural form. It really works well. And we really, you know, I don't think we've even given it all of the good things that, you know, we could have talked about this. But it is very, very beneficial for a lot of different things. And I know if you start looking into the cancer and things like that, it's unbelievable. And of course, it just with the
it
puts
over 40 published studies. It's quite amazing.
And you need the K2 for the D and for your calcium, and it puts the calcium where you need it, which is really phenomenal. So it's great. Hey, Joni, I think we're out of time. Thank you so much for all this wonderful information.
Thank you, Mike. I really, really appreciate spending time with you.
Oh, thank you.
Life just got a little better thanks to Merryman Earth.